The subject I give us our engagement is changed into another man. Changed into another man. I'll read two verses from 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 6 and then 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 9. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Beloved in the Lord, it is not possible to fulfill divine destiny without an experience of the change of heart and nature. And this is why Jesus said to the visitor that came to him at night, "Truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The man came and expressed great admiration. He said to Jesus, "There is no man we have seen that does what you are doing. Surely God must be with you." And in response, Jesus said to him, "Truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So when we talk of the kingdom of God, we are talking of understanding, aligning, and operating with a high realm, and being controlled by the principles of that higher realm. The kingdom of God is higher in character, in nature, and in scope. And for a man to operate within that realm and that sphere, there has to be a turnaround, a complete change of the person. The kingdom does not accept upgraded and improved lights. Say, "Oh no, I'm working on myself." That's not enough. You don't panel beat a man and then suddenly he fits into the principles of the kingdom. No. Jesus said you must be born, what? Again. For a man to be considered compatible with the kingdom, that man must have come to the end of the corrupted version of humanity that he carries. He must come to the end. And you must be ready to embrace the new man, created in the likeness of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Talking about changed into a new man, another man. This year we've been talking about transformation. So today I'm not talking about the transformation of things, the transformation of some spheres of our lives. I'm not talking about the transformation of even our experiences. I'm talking about the transformation of you. Changed into another man. No man can effectively carry forth an assignment for the Lord without first experiencing this change. You cannot effectively carry an assignment in the name of the Lord without having come to the experience that changes your entire being. The old man cannot deliver on divine mandate. The old man has been corrupted by sin. The old man has been corrupted by the ways of the world. The old man has been corrupted by the principles of the old serpent. If a man attempts to run divine errands with the old man's principles, he will not go far. For the ways of God are higher than the ways of man. The language, the priorities, and the interests of the old man will always conflict with God. And I believe that I'm speaking to someone this morning who is going through that conflict. Certain principles that have established themselves in your life will always conflict when you hear the voice. We saw the playmate of this woman who had to go through the conflict until God took her to that point. And I pray that we will submit to that in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus therefore said to this admirer, it is not enough to admire my exploits. It is not enough to desire the exploits that I do. It is not enough to sing the praise of those who are effectively executing divine assignments. If you must enter into the experience and appropriate it for your own life, then there has to be a change. God has to turn you around. So in the year of our transformation, we must yearn for this change of nature. We must yearn to be aligned with divine standards. And this is the starting point, without which everything else is effort in futility. So, Israel desired for a king. They needed a king. And though the matter displeased the Lord, he was not exactly happy that they sought for a king. He granted their request. The prophet Samuel was very wroth with it. He was not happy, but God said to him, calm down. It's not about you, it's about me. That they are asking for a king is not a rejection of you. It is me they are rejecting. I'll give them a king. God was ready to appoint for them a king to lead them in the various battles that they were to face as a chosen people. And so God chose the house of Benjamin and the family of Kish. And from the children of Kish, Saul was the man for the job. And in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel verse 2, we have a description of Saul. Verse 2, chapter 9, 1 Samuel. Bible says, Kish had a son named Saul, an handsome young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. Praise the Lord. What a description of a man. He was a head taller than anyone else. No matter how big and how tall you are, when you come near Saul, you will stop at the shoulders. And Bible says he was handsome to behold. So, Saul had a great physical credential that qualified him for the job. He was the man that when he stands out. And you know, if you needed a king that time, he must be that kind of a man that by appearance he intimidates. By appearance alone, because one primary thing that a king was to do was to lead Israel in battles. So he must not be somebody that somebody will look down on. No. So he had a physical credential that stood him out. And again, I would like to think that Saul was a humble and available person that could be sent on ordinary errands. So despite his being a head taller than anyone else in Israel, he went to look for his father's donkeys. He is not the kind of person who says, Arthur, you can't send other people. You can't send me. He was available. Went round the city looking for the father's donkeys. Said, my father's donkeys are lost. Did you see them? He was available. I'm trying to look at three credentials that we find with Saul. Number one, he had a physical credential. His appearance was qualified for the job. Number two, he had a humble disposition, I think, that he could pick up on that errand. Number three, Saul was a man who listened to his servants. So he actually had servants. After they were tired of searching for the father's animals, Saul said to the servant, "Come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us. Let's go back." But the servant thought otherwise and said to Saul, "Look, in this town there is a man of God. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take." And Saul followed the servant. He listened. Not many of us are ready to listen to the voices of those who are under us. One other man that listened to his servant was Naaman. When he went to see Elisha, and Elisha said to him, "Go bath 7 times. He said, "God forbid. There are better rivers in Syria. I should have gone there." The servant said to him, "Sir, please calm down." Amen. Said to him, "If they had asked you to do something more difficult, wouldn't you do it? Just go and do this thing." Reluctantly, he listened to the servant. So Saul here also listened to his servant, and that gave him an encounter with Samuel. So here we have a man that was a head taller than others. We have a man that was respectful and available to run errands for his father. And here again we have a man that was willing to listen and follow the counsel of an ordinary servant. This man would appear qualified for divine assignment. If the assignment was to be the king of some other nations, Saul would be qualified to run this. If it were an assignment meant for the show of strength or the show of beauty and handsomeness, Saul was perfect. The way he was good enough. Most of the times, we hardly ascribe the assignments that God gives us in our various places of work, in the marketplace. We hardly ascribe divine hand into them. We see them as if I'm doing this job based on my skills and competence. But can I say to you that wherever you have found yourself, can you please know that it is God that planted you there and you are representing him, you are running his errands. And so for Saul to enter into this assignment, the qualifications we have listed were just not enough. And so God said, the Bible says, that the Spirit will come upon him and he would prophesy and he will be turned. He would be transformed into another man. And the Bible says, and so it was that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him a new heart. Another heart. It's not that God worked on him and changed certain parts of his being. It's not that God said to him, "You need to change the way you talk." You know, for those of us who went to seminary, they teach you the code of conduct of a pastor. How you need to carry yourself. Certain ethics that you must observe. There are places you don't stand to eat. There are some ways. In my seminary that time, you can't come out with a flying shirt. You must tuck in. That's how a pastor should appear. All they were doing is to panel beat us. Just to shape us to size. What they did there do not have capacity to change us into another man. It has to be done by the Spirit. And I know that you also have gone through a number of trainings and orientations to make you fit into whatever assignment you are handling. But let me tell you something. It takes the Holy Spirit to turn you into another man. Why did God have to turn Saul into another man? Why did God have to give Saul a new heart? I like to speculate 3 reasons. Number one, the former nature needed to give way to a new man in order to be qualified for the task of leading Israel. God, first of all, would form a new nature in his man before engaging him fully into his assignment. God would first of all create the man in you. that has capacity to carry the weight of what he is preparing for you. Most of the time, some of us enter into certain work, and the only thing we see at the time is what is revealed to us at that time. But what comes afterwards might be heavier than the kind of heart we have now. So what God does is to change you, to work on you, to replace the rebellious man. Why do we have people rebelling even in church? Why do we have people antagonize the church? Why do we have people raising issues with leadership in church? Why do we have people complaining and quarreling when it comes to the things of God? When you ask them to do certain things, they feel that this is below me. It's because they've not come to that point of change. For the former nature, the old man, is prone to rebellion, is prone to flops and failures. God will not have any of that. For you to fully manifest capacity for the assignment in your life, the rebellious nature that you carry must give way for a submissive one that surrenders to God. And so, my friend in the Lord, don't desire certain trust from God if you are not willing and ready for this change. Don't desire certain trust from God if you are not willing and ready to submit to God changing you. You ask, if God did this much for Saul, why did he fail? That's a talk for another day. Because even though God changed him into another man, God did not take from him the will to make choices. It was the exercise of his will. So if you desire that God will trust you with capacity, if you desire that God will take you further, then be willing to submit to this change. Jesus in John chapter 12 verse 24 says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Unless a grain of wheat, John chapter 12 verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Number two reason why God had to change him is that credit for the success of the assignment must be ascribed to God and not man. God has to change you into the man that fits into the purpose for his call so that the credit, the glory, will go to God after you have succeeded. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the scripture says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God deliberately makes the new man a breakable vessel so that the credit and the glory will be ascribed unto him. The new man is not that which cannot be broken. He's still in a jar of clay. So that at the end of the day, you will not rise up and say, by my strength, this was done. No. And that is why the Apostle Paul says, handle it with fear and what? And trembling. The treasure. What are you doing at the moment? To whom do you ascribe glory? You know, in our various engagements, there are times you have a particular breakthrough. And if you are not careful, something enters your head. Amen. As a pastor, you preach somewhere and then the message comes through very strong and there are convictions and all of that. And then you go back home and you're like, wow, I really spent time to pray. That's why this thing happened. You needed to see how much I prepared. My friend, you've got nothing in you that can give success. Success and victory comes from the Lord. And so God deliberately would make us to take notes of our limitations so that the glory will return to him. If he allowed Saul to go in the might, in that consciousness of being a head taller than others, in that consciousness of being a fine guy, the Bible says he was handsome. I don't know what that means. Do you know? That he was handsome. That in the whole of Israel, nobody was as handsome as him. I know when they say somebody is beautiful, but I don't know what it means by somebody being handsome. Praise the Lord. You know why I know that somebody is beautiful? Whenever I look at my wife, I know what beauty is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I don't know what it means to be handsome. When I look at Promise Iloba, are you handsome? Praise God. That Saul was handsome. So if I allow him to go with this consciousness that he is a fine guy, he is tall, and at the end of the day, he will ascribe glory to those qualities. Therefore, God says, I change him into another man so that the focus will not be on those things. May you experience that transformation in the name of Jesus Christ. What lies ahead is big. God needs to work on you. What lies ahead is big. God has to change you. I don't know about you, but I know that for me, there is so much ahead. So you need to ascribe the glory to him. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 18, God spoke to Israel, and in a summary, it says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gave you the power to make wealth. That was just a summary of those group of verses. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God. But you must remember the Lord your God, for it is he. All power comes from him. All authority is from him. The money you have is from him. The Bible says silver and gold belong to him. The Bible says all souls are mine. Everything about him. So God changes into that man so that we will ascribe the glory to him. Number three, God needed a man that could relate with him. A man that has a nature that is compatible with his own nature. God needed a man whose nature is compatible with his own what? Nature. You know, the Bible in John chapter 4 verse 24 says God is spirit. And those who will worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. That's his nature. God is spirit. And those who will worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. So if you must connect with the divine, you must be like the divine. Like attracts like. I'm a man and I relate with you at that level. But if I must relate with God, then there has to be a turnaround. That's why the Bible says God gave him another heart. God wanted a king that would listen to him. Praise the Lord. God wanted a king that will understand when he speaks. Let me say this. Most of the times, we, as humans, we think God is in it because it came with a loud noise. We think God is in it because it was backed by a wind. Or there is fire. Or a storm. Or a thunder. That's when we think God is in it. But God proved to us that with a still, small voice, you could find him. But for you to be able to identify him in that still small voice, you must carry a nature that is compatible with his nature. If God will whisper and you will understand that it is God, then you must go beyond who you are today. You must have submitted to a touch that transforms to the point that when he whispers, you know it is God. That's what God wanted to do with David, with Saul. He wanted a man that he would call and he would understand. He would speak and the man would understand. So he gave him a new nature. Nothing of the old man can connect with God. Nothing. Nothing of the old man can please God. In fact, the Bible says that the sacrifices of a sinner are an abomination to the Lord. Even your self-righteousness can only produce an irritable stench, which God cannot stand. Your self-righteousness, you try to put yourself together and produce some righteous works. Bible says before him it is like filthy rags. So what do I do to please him? Accept and receive from him a new nature. A nature that will not foot drag when it comes to serving the Lord. A nature that will yield fully when it comes to serving the Lord. A nature that will not prioritize self over God. So how do I receive this nature? How do I receive this new man that God is speaking about? Number one, crave for it. Tell somebody by your side, crave for this new man. Let there be a deep-seated desire. Become dissatisfied with the current state of affairs. Let sin that has found its way in your life lose hold of you. Let the things that used to attract you no more attract you. Let God become your focus. Crave for it. In Psalm 42 verse 1, the Bible says, as the deer pants for the living water, for the water, so my soul longs after you. This is David. He said, one thing have I desired, and that I go after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Doing what? Beholding his beauty. That's all that mattered to him. That's a man who came to God discovering his situation of sin. And he prayed in Psalm 51. He said, create in me what? A new heart. I need a new man. I need something different. I have panel-beated this one enough. I need something new. Crave for a change. And it has to be a personal, intentional, deliberate craving. Not this corporate one that we come and then you rely on another man's anointing. It has to be cultivated personally. Let God see in you that your heart yearns for him. Become dissatisfied with religion and take hold of the principles of the Spirit. Crave for it. Those who seek transformation will experience some transformation if they seek it truly. I'm not talking about the transformation of your business. If the Lord brings that to God be the glory. I'm not talking about more money in your pocket. If God brings it, to God be the glory. But we are talking about yourself. The earnest expectations of the righteous will not be cut off. So let this experience remain your prime desire. The experience of this change When a man receives this touch from God, the heavens open up to him. How do I receive this? I must crave for it. Number two, wait for it. Crave for the change, wait for the change. Wait for it. Job 14:14. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Till what? Till my change come. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. The NIV says till my renewal. Can you give us that passage? Job 14:14. Job 14:14. Is somebody on the system? Thank you. Do you have an IV? If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my heart service, I will do what? For my renewal to come. Wait patiently. God is interested in you. Though it tarries, friend, wait for it. Don't fake spiritual experience just to impress men. Don't. Don't fake spiritual experience just to impress men. When we were growing up as young people, I became born again quite early. And then there was this desire and interest in the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongue speaking. I went through all kinds of Holy Ghost baptism. At a point, some of us had to fake it. So that let me go. I'm not joking about this. Went through all kinds at different levels. There are some of us, dear friends, that are faking certain things so that I will be counted amongst those who are also spiritual. Don't fake it. Don't rush into any assignment until you have received this transformation. Don't rush. Wait for it. You know, when Jesus was to leave in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high." Hallelujah. There's so much for you to do, but can you please wait first? It takes strength to wait. Waiting is not for the lazy. Are you listening to me? Waiting does not imply weakness. Waiting does not imply irresponsibility. Spending time with God and waiting for that transformation that will endue you with the power does not mean you are not active. And waiting takes different forms, but you must just wait. You must wait. Do not rush into anything without first receiving the nature that is appropriate for it. Hallelujah. Do not rush into anything without first receiving. Everything you do falls within a sphere, a world of its own. And you need to wait to receive the nature that applies to that thing. Are you listening to me? It is only in Christianity we think that it is an all-commerce thing. And by that I go to the third thing you need to do. Prepare for it. Prepare for it. For this transformation, you need to crave for it. You need to wait for it. You need to, whilst you wait, prepare. It's only in Christianity we think that it is an all-commerce thing. Everybody can wake up and carry the microphone and preach. He's a pastor. Anybody, just anybody. If you can speak good English and if you can read your Bible from cover to cover and take hold of certain verses, you are good enough. And so you see some people, somebody just stand and he's talking and say, wow, yes, be gone! And he thinks that he is ready. Everything has... Pastoral ministry is a world of its own. Just like politics is a world of its own. No matter the conviction that I have today as a pastor today, no matter the conviction and the money that I have, I cannot just jump into a political party and say, I want to be the president next year. I must be schooled. Am I correct? I must take on me the nature of a politician. I must. I don't just wake up and say, I have enough money. I want to be the governor of my state. That's what the Spirit said to me. Okay. The Spirit has said the same thing to some other people and they've been there. They've been schooled. They have received on them the nature. That other man that makes them effective politicians, they have received it. You are just coming. You must learn. Prepare. In 1999, I entered the seminary, and there was a guy that, prior to that time, we were in the polytechnic together. We were active in NIFES and all of that. And then 1999, I entered seminary. After my first semester, in December, we met with this guy. He said, Dukara, how now? I said, I'm fine. I'm doing good. And you? He said, fine. He said, I hope you are into ministry now because the fire is going. I said, yes, I'm into ministry. I'm in seminary. He said, what? I said, I'm in seminary. How long will you be there? I said, 4 years. He said, Haba. He said, by the time you spend 4 years, I would have gone far. That's a man avoiding preparation. Is somebody hearing me? That's a man doing what? Avoiding preparation. I said, no problem. Me, I will go and spend the 4 years. You don't want me to tell you the story of that brother today. He is in this town. When I came back this time to be conference president, he came to visit me and said, oh, Dogara Nawao. He does not know what preparation does to a man. Are you listening to me? Your journey is so far in this realm. Prepare for it now. Prepare yourself. Set yourself ready to receive the nature. Don't be in a hurry. While you wait, prepare for the experience. Set your heart and mind ready for the experience. Pray. Study the word of God. Engage in fellowship. Do everything. Be fervent in the service of the Lord. Be available for ordinary errands. Hello? Be available for what? Ordinary errands. We have discovered so many people in Scripture had an encounter with God whilst running those errands. Joseph was just carrying food to his brothers. Just carrying food to his brothers. That was when they took him, put him in a pit, removed him. He went to Potiphar's house, moved him to prison, and then he became a palace guy. What is the beginning? Take food to your brothers. Go and see how they are faring. Ordinary errands. Moses was taking care of the father's flock just by the mountain. That's all he was doing. He was a son-in-law. You know? And then suddenly he saw a burning bush. He said, wow, what's happening there? The Bible says, and he turned aside to see what was happening. And the scripture says, when God saw that he turned aside, God called him. Are you listening to me? He saw an unusual thing and decided to turn aside, to give it attention. God called him and said to him, remove your shoes. Running ordinary errands. Some people have encountered great things. David, what was he doing? Taking care of the father's flock. And something was happening at home. In fact, the Bible says that Samuel said, we won't move on until you bring him. They ran and brought him from taking care of his father's flock. He ran, came, 16 years old. They said, that's the man. Samuel said, kneel down. He knelt down. He didn't know what was happening. Oil came upon his head. May the Lord find you ready in the name of Jesus. But you see,
be available for ordinary errands. You may be a director in your office. If God says, sweep this church, please sweep it. Sweep it. So what do I do to receive this new heart? Cry for it, wait for it, prepare for it. Let God find you set and ready. If the preparation, I read somewhere, I can't get it very clear now, but somebody said that if you ask him to cut a tree, he will spend a greater part of the time sharpening his axe first. Are you listening to me? He will spend a greater part of the time sharpening it, while some other people go with a dull axe and the axe, exerting so much energy. He has finished sharpening it. Maybe he has just 10 more minutes. He just comes, pow, and the thing goes down. Because the axe is what? Sharp. As we go through the time of transformation, I'd like to ask you, have you received the new man? Is it that old man that is seated here and listening to this word? Are you resisting the work of the Spirit in your heart? Or you are ready to submit? Bow down your heads with me. If I will be effective in doing the work of God, then God has to give me a new heart.